Amen. It is good to have Brother Bedwell tonight, and the school, the Norris Baptist Bible Seminary that we support, and me and Brother Wiggins graduated from. We've had students out there. We've had students attend there from our church every year except the last couple of years, from Brother Jack Brown's, where he graduated from. And so it's, you know, it's we've heavily supported. There was a time when anyway, we were even more involved. We met out at the school for 2.5 years. When we met in the storefront for 3.5 years when we first started, then we met at the school for 2.5 years. So we actually met in their buildings for 2.5 years. And so there was a lot of needs this year of various things need to be fixed. So one of the things that needed to be fixed was there was a fence, a wooden fence that's 113 panels long. Some of you have backyards with a wooden fence, each panel 8 foot long, 6 foot tall. 113 of those need to be replaced. And so Brother Bedwell brought a group of men down, and they spent Monday and Tuesday all day in the Texas heat taking the fence down and putting it back and putting a new one up. And so what a blessing, and appreciate them very much coming all this way. And when we talked about it a few months ago, I told Brother Bedwell, if you come down and do that, I want you to come preach for us. And Brother Bedwell's now been there. You said you went on staff there 15 years ago, I believe, and now I've been pastoring there about seven years? And some of y'all remember who've been with the IBFI a long time, Brother Bedwell pastors Brother Gregory's, Brother Gregory, who was there for years and years. Was there 41 years, wasn't he? 53, I'm way off. Brother Gregory pastored before Brother Bedwell, 53 years, the church there. Dearborn Heights, Michigan, Faith Baptist Church. Brother Bedwell, you come preach for us. Oh, by the way, the secret to the offering is, whoever doesn't have an offering plate gets to pray. So now you can start watching who gets to pray.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I am not originally from Michigan. I'm from Oklahoma. Amen. So you'll forgive me for that too, won't you? I met my wife at college years ago, and she's from Michigan, so we ended up back in Michigan. I will admit tonight that I am tired, and it's hot down here. I'd forgotten how hot. It gets hot in Oklahoma, too, but haven't been up in Michigan since 1987 now. I guess I'm sort of like a Yankee now. But last winter, I was looking in my car there where it goes and tells you the temperature, and it dropped down. I had to take a picture of it because it said minus 16. That's 16 below zero plus the wind chill factor. So I don't know which is worse, the heat or the cold, but wherever we are, we serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. You have your Bible? Hold it up. How many of you have your Bibles here tonight? Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 19 and Jeremiah chapter 20. Thank you, Brother Crawford, for inviting me to preach tonight. Brother Wiggins, all the help you've been this week. Jeremiah chapter 19 and chapter 20. All right. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to read chapter 20, verse 1, and then we'll go back and look at a couple of things in chapter 19, kind of reverse here. Look in chapter 20, verse 1. It says, "Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things." Now, let's look back in chapter 19 to see what Jeremiah had said and the things that he had preached. I'll go back and just hit a couple of things there. Verse 1 of chapter 19, "Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee." Down in verse 3, part way down, he says, "I will bring evil upon this place." Verse 4, "Because they have forsaken me." And then in verse 4, it says, "They have burned incense in it unto other gods." Verse 5, "They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. So they were worshiping false pagan gods and even sacrificing their own children to the god of Baal. And it would, this place where they were, down in verse 6 at the end, says it's going to be changed to be named the Valley of Slaughter. Down in verse 8, it says, I will make this city desolate. Down in verse 10, he had this bottle, this earthen bottle, and throughout the book of Jeremiah, God's always telling him, using visual aids, and so he tells him to take this bottle, and if I had one, I'd bring it up here and break it in front of you. We'd get it. We'd get the message. Well, he was told to take this bottle and to break it. Look at verse 10. Thou shalt break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And so the people of God, the people of Judah, had turned their backs on God, had begun worshiping idols, and God was upset with them. And so God tells Jeremiah, his prophet, to preach. And when he preaches this message, the people didn't like it. Now, Brother Crawford, most of the, you know this, most of the prophets in the Bible were called to bring messages that weren't very popular. Messages of doom and judgment, and whatever God told them, that's what they preached. And so that happens here. Now look in verse 1 of chapter 20 again. It says, Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, he heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Now look in verse 2. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. So right there next to the house of the Lord, Jeremiah was taken by this chief officer and leader of the temple and was beaten, put in prison, told not to preach anymore. You might say that Jeremiah, he was no relative of Joel Osteen. He didn't bring just a positive message, see. Because of his straightforward preaching, he was beaten physically. He was harmed, put in the stocks, he was in pain, and thrown into prison. The way our country is going, one day this very thing could happen to independent fundamental Baptist preachers across our land who will take stands for the Word of God, for what biblical marriage is, and the teachings of the Bible. Do you think that could happen? It could. Look at verses 3 and 4. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. For the Lord saith, for thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. And so Jeremiah was given some leniency, was let out of prison the next day, but he kept on preaching the Word of God. He kept on telling the truth. You would think that he might soften the message, but he stayed true to the Word of God. He brought a sermon with two main points. The first one, this wicked leader and his own acquaintances would soon be killed. Not a popular message. The nation of Judah would be brought into captivity by the coming armies of the Babylonians, and they would lose everything. Now, that's not a tremendous, great sermon people want to hear. But nevertheless, he delivered it. And no one listened to his preaching. Here he was, a faithful man of God, doing what God had called him to do. And the people began to make fun of Jeremiah, to mock him. After several years of proclaiming God's word, he preached the word of God for 40 years. After several years, he began to have doubts, even himself, about what God was doing with him and whether anything was really being accomplished at all. It would be like me preaching here tonight and everyone right in the middle of the message getting up and walking out. Now, don't do that now. But can you imagine that? That's how it was happening there with this prophet, this preacher of God. Would you keep preaching if no one listened to you? Would you keep witnessing if no one was getting saved? Jeremiah began to get discouraged. Look what he says in verses 7 through 9. He says, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision," how often? Daily. "Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily." Look at the next verse. Can you believe this? "Then he said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." How could this happen? The prophet of God, preaching the word of God, but yet daily, day after day, finally it was getting to him. He began to have doubts about God. It began to wear heavily on him as he experienced daily persecution. He says, "The word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." He had become a constant object of ridicule and mockery, and it began to wear on him. No one listening to him, no one standing by him or for him. And maybe you feel that way tonight. Maybe you felt like just throwing in the towel and giving up. Can you imagine never speaking the name of Jesus to anyone again? That's pretty serious business. Well, you know, it's sad to say that some so-called believers have never told anybody about Jesus in the first place. But here, Jeremiah is at the point where he says, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm just quitting. I'm going to give up. Is it really doing any good anyway? What would Jeremiah do? Stop preaching? Give up? You know, I've been there before. I left the church and was very discouraged, disappointed. My wife and I, when we were married, first married in out of Bible college. Well, then while we were still in Bible college, I began to work in a church, youth and music, and then went to another church. And, you know, we just thought every preacher was sold out in the holy man of God. And that was not the case. And we began to get very discouraged. And, you know, I left, finally had enough and was in Louisiana at the time. This was several years ago. I just got up one morning. I just didn't want to get up and go to work. And so finally, I said, we're leaving. We got up, we left. Didn't have any money. All I had was a little U-Haul trailer, and we headed for Michigan. Wow. That's pretty desperate, isn't it? And, you know, here I was called to be a preacher. And so here I am trying to work a regular secular job. Tired of superficiality and people. Disappointed in the ministry. I was mistreated by one pastor and 2 years later, I got a phone call from the pastor that I had worked for, apologizing how he had treated my wife and I, and said, we haven't been able to pray for 2 years, a pastor. And so, yeah, you get discouraged sometimes. You question things. Jeremiah had become so discouraged, he was questioning God's very actions in his own life. He was accusing God of overpowering him and not being fair with him. What was he really accomplishing anyway? So he says, I'll tell you, I'm just going to remain silent. Now, there were those around him wanting him to preach, because the more he preached, the more they enjoyed mocking him. And so they were just ready to twist his words into lies. And he says, I'm just going to be silent. We must remember that someone is always watching us. All those that knew him were against him and were just waiting for him to quit. The world loves to see Christians give up, quit, go back into the world. They love to entice and tempt us in a way to bring us down in defeat. Satan wants to destroy our preaching. He wants to destroy our testimony any way he can. It's happening all around. We just had a missionary that we supported. Got a letter saying that, this is sad. I couldn't believe it. I'm reading this. When you get one of these letters that said, it's unfortunate I have to write this letter from the home pastor. And it said, so-and-so missionary to Ireland, his wife ran off, left him for another woman. A missionary. Had a ministry there in Ireland, over 100 people in the congregation. We had had them in our church just a few years. That's sad. But what about God's high calling on Jeremiah's life? What about the Great Commission? Jeremiah tried to stop preaching, but it didn't last for long. Amen. Something wouldn't let go of him. Look at verse 9. Look what it says here. Partway through verse 9, he says this. But his word was where? In mine heart. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You see, his preaching wasn't just like any other job. He was just not adhering to a religion. God had gotten a hold of his heart. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is Jesus in your heart? If he's in your heart, you'll never be the same again. Amen. Jeremiah was saying that God had gotten a hold of his heart. And he would never let him go. God's word was so precious to him because God's word had changed him from the inside out. The scripture says that the word of God is quick, is sharp, is powerful. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of what? The heart. Has God's word come into your heart? Someone said the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. It's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Amen. God's word can change your heart tonight in this very service. David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. God's word was as a burning fire shut up in his bones. He tried, listen to this now, he tried to shut up, but God's word was shut up. Shut up, stored up in his what? Bones. God's word was a part of his skeletal makeup. It was a part of his life. If something's real to you, you might say it's what? Deep down in your bones. It was an all-consuming blaze, like a fire, he said, within him. God's word burns within his own, waiting to get out to a world with great zeal and power. Instead of being weary of persecution and pain, Jeremiah soon became weary of keeping silent. The preacher Harry Ironside said, and I quote, he said, a burning fire must have vent. And if the word of God be thus surging up in one's breast, he simply must preach. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And so Jeremiah, he realized that he could not forbear. He could not keep it to himself any longer. He couldn't just contain it inside. It had to get out. He couldn't stay, it says. That means he couldn't quit. What was inside of him had to eventually get out. He had to vent it to the world regardless of the circumstances. We too should have a burning, deep desire to share the Bible and the word of God with the lost around us. You remember that song? Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me, let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be your witness, fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of your saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Amen. Jeremiah had reached a place where he was ready to quit preaching, but the fire wasn't out. When God began to fan, he just couldn't help himself. He caught fire again. The Lord has called us to awake from our slumber and to fan the fire, to add the fuel of God's word. Look at verse 11. Look what else he realized. And you may have gone through something very depressing, and you may be ready to give up. But here's some things at the end here of this chapter that we need to remind ourselves. Look at verse 11. He says, but the Lord, what's it say? Is with me. Say it with me. But the Lord is with me. Do you realize that tonight? Doesn't matter what happens around you, that God is with you. He is with you. He will never forsake you, even when everybody else around you is. Doesn't matter who they are. God is with you. He says, the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. No matter our circumstances, no matter that all be against you and me, remember the Lord is with me. I am with thee, even to the end of the world. Amen. Jeremiah's discouragement soon turned into praise, praising the Lord. Once he's discouraged, now he's praising God because he realizes God is with him. Look at verse 13. He says, sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Singing and praising God will keep us going tonight. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Sing it with me. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. Praising God. Realizing He is with us. Praising Him and singing. And it'll keep you going tonight. Amen. It'll keep you in the right turn, in the right direction. If you're down tonight, get up. Get going for God. Get on fire for the Lord. You remember that song, brother? I don't know how old you are. Is he old tonight or is he young? Remember that? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And then all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced it. You want to sing, it's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. Would you stand with me tonight and bow your heads in prayer? You say, preacher, I'm discouraged tonight. I'm even to the place where I question what God's even doing with me. Nothing seems to be going right. Would you bow your heads just a moment here? You say, you know, I've done this and done this, but yet nothing seems to be working out. Jeremiah was ready to give up. He's ready to quit. As far as we know, no one ever really listened to him. But yet, and he got to the place where he was ready to quit, not to even talk about God anymore. But yet, because of what God had done in his heart, he couldn't remain silent. maybe you're here tonight and you want to be used of God, and you just need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to set your heart and your soul on fire tonight, for God to reach down into your bones and relight, rekindle the flame of fire. Maybe you're discouraged. Probably in this church, there's somebody here tonight that's down, troubled, ready to give up, ready to quit, maybe questioning God, questioning the church. And yet God wants to use you in a great way. Remember that He's with you, that He'll never leave you, never forsake you, that He wants to do something great in your life, just as He was there with Jeremiah. Maybe you've gotten discouraged and you just need God to reach down in your heart and set your heart and soul on fire again. Maybe you've been going to church a long time and yet you've quenched the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Will you allow Him to rekindle a burning desire in your heart tonight to be a soul winner, to share the Word of God with your neighbors, your classmates, to get excited about what God's Word can do in others' lives? When no one's looking around, you say, "Pastor, yeah, I've been a little discouraged. I have a need in my heart. I want God to set my heart. I want God to take control of my life and set my soul on fire. Would you pray for me?" Did somebody lift your hand tonight? Yes, yes, yes. Maybe you've been discouraged. You're questioning some things, and God just wants to get you back on track tonight, serving Him. You're that close to giving up, to calling it quits. Let's be reminded tonight that God's the same, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God wants to do something great in our lives. He says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'll touch hearts tonight and lift up those that are needing Your touch. Lord, rekindle a desire in our hearts to speak for You. Holy Spirit of God, set our hearts on fire tonight. Lord, bless this church, empower this church, each person. Lord, is there getting ready for a revival? Lord, begin that revival in their hearts tonight. Holy Spirit, have Your way. And Lord, lift us up. Lord, help us to be of good cheer as we trust and look to Thee. Lord, I pray for each person that's lifted their hand tonight. Lord, each one, Lord, if someone's lost tonight, I pray that they would get saved. Trust You as personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us, Lord, when we have the doubts and discouragements, Lord, to just trust in Thee, to trust in Your Word. I pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen. Only takes a spark. That's it. Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Amen. Hymn 153, "I Surrender All." Very, very appropriate song as we sing. All to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, set your heart, won't You come tonight? All to